This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive, and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talk the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We have to start with the Arkansas Razorback basketball team making it into the NIT. How pumped are you? The National Invitational Tournament. What could be better? What could be more prestigious? What could be better than going on the road to play in Rhode Island against Providence as a 5 seed? Tell me, what could be better? Pretty much anything, to be honest. But postseason play is postseason play. And when it was going around and that there are actually people out there that have NIT bracketology, I can't believe that that's a thing, but it is. Most people had Arkansas in the NIT. They do get the invitation. They do go along with it. And they will be going up to Providence. Now, this isn't going to excite everybody. I was being very sarcastic in my opening remarks, talking about how this really doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, no one's excited, and if you don't believe me, just go look at social media when the official Razorback basketball Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts were putting out that they're going to be playing tomorrow night at 8 p.m. in the NIT. Look at the responses and see exactly how people are so pumped for this. But it is postseason play after all. And it's just really, first off, there's a few storylines from it all, that Arkansas is getting to that point for one. But one of the main storylines that I want to talk about is the question of Daniel Gafford. Now, Daniel Gafford, we know that he's gone after this year. We know he's going to the NBA. We know that he's a guy that's trying to get drafted. And by all accounts, it looks like he will be drafted into the NBA. We don't know exactly where. Some people have said late first round pick, maybe early second round pick. There's been a lot of people that have given their opinions on where Daniel Gafford is going to go. But why would Daniel Gafford want to play in the NIT? Why should he play in the NIT? If you're talking about just getting ready for the NBA, what more can Daniel Gafford accomplish by playing in the NIT? What more can he do? Can he elevate his stock if he has a great game against Providence? And if they win that game and they more than likely will play Indiana, a team they've already played before, will that really elevate his stock? I don't see it. In fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised if it came out today or tomorrow that Daniel Gafford decided not to play in the NIT. And what's unfortunate about that whole thing is I think a lot of Razorback fans would probably be upset by that. And I don't think you should. Now listen, now this is coming from somebody who, when it comes to pretty much every other sport, I have and take issue with people who come out and say that, you know what, I'm not playing in postseason play. I want to worry about my draft stock. People have said that when Zion Williamson, for instance, when he got hurt, a lot of national pundits were coming out saying, you know, he needs to sit out the rest of the year. He needs to worry about his future. He needs to worry about the NBA. And I took issue with that. But you got to look at every single circumstance different. The reason I took issue with Zion Williamson is because the guy was actually still playing for something really important, something really special. And that was for a national championship. That's for a national player of the year. That was for all these awards and accomplishments that he and his team could accomplish this season. He was still playing for something. But on the other end, you have Daniel Gafford. Daniel Gafford, who by all accounts has a season that was really disappointing, that's going into the NIT that no one's really excited about. It's not even an NIT game where you're hosting, so you don't even get a game at Bud Walton Arena, at least unless something crazy happens where there's some upsets and you keep advancing. Maybe you'll get a game that way. But you don't even get another game at home. So what's the point? What's the reasoning behind it? If I'm Daniel Gafford, I'm sitting out. That's just me. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying that if he's listening to this show this morning, which I'm sure he is because everybody listens to this show, that he should sit out. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that if he decides to, if he ends up thinking about it, talking over with his family, talking it over with the some people that will help him get into the NBA, and they say, you know what, man, had a good run. But right now, this is what you're looking at. And we feel like there's nothing you can do in the NIT except hurt yourself. So don't worry about it. And if that's the case, then Daniel Gafford doesn't need to worry about it. He needs just to continue on doing what he's doing, get ready for the NBA, and see what happens with Arkansas. Because I guess you'll be able to see a little chance of what this season would have been like without Daniel Gafford if he does end up not playing against Providence. But you still got a few players that are on this roster that you have excitement about. It's inevitable that there's probably going to be some transfers just given trends and percentages. It seems like every single year, even when Arkansas had players that looked really good and you had a lot of potential, they've left. I mean, look at what happened last year. Darius Hall, everyone was head scratched. Like, why in the world would Darius Hall leave? And then he went to DePaul.
Did you see the game Nick Waller-Babb had in the Big 12 championship?
I did see that. Now, that one ended up playing out, which is amazing because it feels like it was so long ago when Nick Babb played. But he was a true freshman because he was on the team, Arkansas's best basketball team they had under Mike Anderson with Portis and Qualls. That was his only year. So I'm not saying it doesn't work out, but I am saying that people were wondering why in the world would Nick Babb transfer? It looked like he was going to be a very promising player, guy that would be able to get a lot of minutes. But that's not just an Arkansas thing. That's college basketball in general. College basketball has a lot of transfers. I mean, thousands. You know, there's no transfer portal in college basketball, because if there is, there would be not enough space to hold the amount of transfers that you have in the transfer portal. So it's going to be a really interesting and dicey situation in the coming days for Razorback basketball, because it is the thing about Daniel Gafford. The NIT is coming right up. I mean, you don't get a lot of chance to just sit down and hang out. I mean, you're talking about tomorrow night at 8 p.m., Arkansas is playing in the NIT. So we'll be seeing exactly what Daniel Gafford's going to be doing. We know he's going to announce he's going pro, but when will that be? And if he does announce that he will not be playing in, and you would assume it'd probably be today, because if he announces it like right 2 hours before the game tomorrow, it's probably going to be a little weird and awkward. So we'll know about that announcement. We'll know in the coming days if there is any basketball transfers from Arkansas. And we'll also know the status of the entire staff at Arkansas. Because I'm telling you right now, folks, I don't get into all of the crazy rumor mills very often. I do find it fascinating, and there are certain people that I listen to that I would say are in the know and at least would have an idea. I'm not going to Hogville and checking out what Hoggy Style has to say and saying, no, this is real. I'm basing it off of things that I'm hearing from people that I know and people that I trust. And there's grumblings. Nothing confirmed. Nothing for sure saying, well, this is happening. Nothing for sure of anybody saying that this is off the rail or anything like that. I'm just hearing grumblings about possible changes. Not saying it's head coaching changes, but maybe some staff changes, maybe some rearrangements, maybe some different philosophies, different styles. Something's going to change because, folks, something has to change. Something has to change. You can't go along with this same thing going into next season. It was a really big disappointment this past year. You lose your best player in Daniel Gafford. You might lose a couple of other players that are really important to this team, very essential to this team. And what's your recruiting class look like right now? You got nothing. Nothing. How are you going to replace Daniel Gafford? How are you going to replace those possible transfers? Sure, you could go some JUCO routes. Sure, you could go some grad transfers. But where are they? Who are they? And is that really how you want to be able to make it work? You got to make it work in any way you can. If you're Mike Anderson, you got to do that. But it just seems like it's going to be more of a desperation plea of going that route. And there's no guarantee that you'll be able to get... Listen, you're not going to get another Daryl Macon and Jalen Barford from JUCO. They're just not hanging out, just waiting on Arkansas to give them a phone call. Like, most of those players have already committed and more than likely signed with another team. So they're not just hanging out. Mike Anderson has always found a way to field a team. Mike Anderson has always found a way to not have a losing record. Mike Anderson has always found a way, when his back was against the wall, to come back out swinging. But this year, with his back against the wall, I don't know if he has any punches left, because it's certainly not looking good right now. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. We're going to get to everything that happened over the weekend. Going to get to your phone calls. Going to have some fun with it. And also going to get to the best and the worst of the weekend. And also, friendly reminder, folks, we have a bracket challenge on ESPN.com. So if you'd like to join that, I know that we'll be giving away to the winner a Bud Light cooler That's just one of many other prizes we'll be given. So be sure to go to ESPN.com, go into the bracket challenge, search for Morning Rush. Really simple. If you listen to the show, you know the name. And then the password, all caps, Go Hogs. We got really creative with that.
Follow the show on Twitter at Hit That Line AR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
What's going on, Officer Reed?
Well, sir, concerning Razorback athletics, thank goodness it's baseball season.
Yes, thank goodness.
And going to the NIT is like going to a concert with your sister. The music better really be good or it's not enjoyable.
Couldn't agree more. There's so many analogies that you can use for going to the NIT and how it just feels like it's like false excitement if anybody's actually excited about it. So I'm with you on that one. But while we have you on the air, Officer Breen, it is spring break. Any message you want to give out to our listeners this week?
Absolutely. It's spring break. There's going to be a lot of young drivers out on the road. Everybody watch out for each other, number one. Number two, drive sober, get pulled over. And number three, but certainly not last, if you're underage, do not drink. It's against the law. You will get caught. And by the way, the limit for underage drinking, if you're .02, then you are over the limit. You can be charged with minor in possession. So everybody have a great time, but be careful and be safe out there.
There you have it. Appreciate the phone call, Officer Breen. Appreciate the message as always, you hanging out with us. And just to reiterate what Officer Breen said, and just to put it more succinctly, don't be an idiot. Follow that rule, you'll be okay. Just don't be an idiot out there during spring break. All right, I'm ready for this. Let's go to the phone lines. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, gentlemen. And good morning to this fan base. As I'm waking up this morning, headed to work, hearing the news that our basketball program is heading to the NIT. Are you kidding me? I want to get to Mr. Hunter Yurecek and this administration. Hunter Yurecek, sir, you're our athletic director. And if part of the athletic director's job is to oversee our sports programs that we compete at the highest level. Now, you wasn't there when we were the best basketball programs for decades under Coach Eddie Sutton and Nolan Richardson. When we competed at the highest level, I remember a great excitement at this time of year, and now it's depressing. 8 years, and you're bringing back Coach Anderson for 9 years. Let me tell you something. Wally Hall, sir, did you read the paper yesterday? Had an article. Did you read it?
I did, yes.
And he hit it right on the nose. We used to have an athletic director, Mr. Frank Bowles, I call the Good Shepherd. He oversees our sports programs. And what did this Good Shepherd do? He oversees. He was hesitant to hire. But when our sports programs, I don't care who you were the head of, our basketball, baseball, football, if you were not performing, you would hit the highway. And what now? Look at the administration. Hunter, your check, as far as I'm concerned, sir, if you're just up there to draw a paycheck, you can leave now. And any of the administration up on the hill to making a mediocrity out of our basketball program, and you're putting up with it, we don't have to put up with it. And let me tell you, this fan base is growing tired. And we should be with our fan base and our facility. How can Ole Miss, Mississippi State, have better basketball programs than we do? Unacceptable. Are you getting the message? So when you're drinking your coffee this morning, Mr. Hunter Yurecek, you've got some decisions to make. And if you're not going to make them, like I said, you can hit the road. Thank you for taking my call today.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. Always appreciate you bringing the heat in the mornings. This time it's really early in the mornings. And, you know, a lot of Razorback fans feel the same way that you do, which, by the way, as well, is appreciated. But I also read that Wally Hall article, and I don't know why people don't like Wally. I love Wally, all right? I've always read his stuff, and I know that people like to troll him on Twitter and all that stuff, but I've always liked Wally. And if you hadn't had a chance to read his article from yesterday, in the paper about the current state of the athletic department, especially with football and basketball. Give it a read. Just give it a read. It's pretty good stuff. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Jim is in Searcy. Try to top that one, Jim.
Guys, this is depressing this morning listening to you guys.
Why is that?
Well, because, I mean, we've been to the postseason in 5 out of 6 years. We've got a coach that don't cheat. You know, he's got a young team. You know, I think Mike Anderson's a good man. I think he's a good coach. He sat on the bench with Nolan Richmond when we won the national championship.
That's right.
You know, you guys just need to change. You're kind of leading some of these fans down the wrong path, jumping on with him because y'all are anti-Anderson.
I'm not anti-Anderson.
I believe you are.
Come on now. Listen, if there's anybody that's been a fan and wanted to for Mike Anderson to actually take this program to the heights that it was at, it's me. And I've said many times that if Arkansas
Hold on, Jim.
I'm just saying that if I said many times that if Arkansas was to win a national championship in basketball, I wanted Mike Anderson's name on the trophy along with it. I wanted him to be that coach. But
okay, we have a young team?
Yes, you have a young team.
If Isaiah Joe, he's an excellent three-point shooter, correct?
He is.
If we're playing Florida and he hits 2 out of 9, is Anderson the one shooting the shots for him?
No, he's not.
He's not.
But you got to look at the whole body of work,
Joe,
Jim.
Hits three more.
But, Jim, you got to look at the whole body of work. We're not talking about a couple shots here and there. You got to look at the whole. This season has been a disappointment to a lot of fans.
Well, it's been a disappointment, but we've still been to the postseason in 5 out of 6 years. If we go to the Independence Bowl in football, we're happy with it, right?
Well, you are right now, but let me ask you something. If you felt like the program was underachieving by going to the Independence Bowl, if you felt like the program should be at a better place than the Independence Bowl, would you not be disappointed by it and want to see the team or the program in general bounce back in a positive and really effective way? Because right now, there's just nothing on the horizon that's given Razorback fans hope that it's going to get turned around.
Do you think that our coach plays on a level playing field with other colleges?
I feel like I don't know why he wouldn't. What's he got going against him?
So my question is, would you rather have a team with a coach that's on a wiretap and be 25 and whatever, or would you rather be on a team at 17 and 15 and you know you're doing it the right way?
I'd rather...
The APR's up. Am I right or wrong?
But why do fans care about APR, though? Like, do you as a fan care about APR?
So you're saying fans should care that as long as you're winning, cheating or not, that's what you want.
No, I'm not.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that you should, as a fan, expect a coach that can have a winning program.
Well, how many coaches has had winning seasons in every year? Have you checked Mike Anderson's winning percentage versus Buzz Williams?
Yes, I have. But it's all about
who's got the highest percentage.
It's all about the postseason, though, my man.
Who's got the highest percentage of winning?
Mike Anderson does, but it's about postseason, my man. Jim, it's about postseason.
Well, we're in the postseason right now.
You're in the consolation prize of postseason.
No, that's up to y'all. Why is Indiana, Alabama, and all those that barely got in the NCAA, why are they playing in the consolation?
Because they're average teams.
I guarantee that up to 20 teams in this NIT could beat many of those teams that's in the NCAA on any given night. Am I right or wrong?
Well, college basketball can have that at any point in time, but that's why you have to look at the whole season. It's the body of work. It's not about one single game.
Sometimes you don't have a great season.
And this was not a great season for the Razorback
basketball
team.
That's right, but why do we ditch the coach over a season like this?
Because
it's in year 8.
Is it going to be better next year, Jim?
Very well could be.
How? How could it be better?
Well, he's done it before, hadn't he?
With players.
Well, yeah, but he had players coming in.
It's depressing, guys, to listen to you guys. You guys are too negative.
We're just being realistic, man. We're just being realistic.
You're too negative. But anyway, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Well, appreciate you listening in, Jim. I appreciate you listening in. You know, agree to disagree. But I feel like we're not being too negative, all right? It has nothing to do with negativity. We're just trying to be realistic with the fans. And a lot of fans are disappointed right now. And with the disappointment comes along with a little bit of pessimism because people don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Listen, if Mike Anderson in this program had a top 15, top 20 recruiting class coming in, if they had a player next year that's a game-changing type player like a Bobby Portis, like a Daniel Gafford, like a Daryl Macon, if they had somebody like that, I'd be all for it. I'd say, hey, listen, it sucked this year. It was disappointing. But don't worry, folks, because next year or even the year after that, it's going to improve. It's going to look better because of X, Y, Z. You could lay it out and you could be able to look at it all. But if you feel like we're being too negative, I'm sorry, but I feel like we're being realistic. I feel like we're just bringing it to the fans of what they know and what they are about and what they understand what the program can be and what it should be. That's my whole point. But Jim's a great caller, though. He's an avid listener to the show, and I love Jim. Appreciate it as always, man. Again, agree to disagree. That's all I'm saying. Let's go back to the phone lines. James is in Van Buren. What's going on, James?
Hey, so I try to be the voice of reason in everything that I do.
That's good.
Nick Mason said something a couple weeks ago that made a lot of sense. Does it put the basketball program in a better place to fire Mike Anderson right now? I don't really feel that it does, because I don't feel that you'll have the time to get the proper coach in to fill the void. So I think you put Mike Anderson on a short leash, you give him one more year, the fan base takes his annex, and we go on about our day.
Yeah.
But I think Mike needs to be on a super short leash.
Yeah.
But do you feel that we could get a better coach right now if we were to can Mike Anderson?
Listen, I don't know. I mean, because here's the thing. Like, you never know what coaches are out there looking. You don't know the insides of their minds. You don't know who is interested. You don't know who would even possibly be interested. But what I do know, though, is because I agree. I think Mike Anderson's going to be the coach next year. And I'm not calling for his head. I'm not. I think he deserves one more year, just given all the circumstances and where they're at right now. And like you said, I think he deserves a short leash, though. After next season, then we'll see how it happens. But I am just going along with, I understand Razorback fans and their frustrations right now, James. I understand why there are people that are wanting a change, because there's no hope at the end of the tunnel. There's nothing there that people can point to say, this is why it's going to be better in the coming years. That's my whole point.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think everybody just needs to understand is, if they'll give him one more year, Hunter Yurecek can put his feelers out, like Nick said the other morning, kind of get an idea of who may potentially be on the market, and be a lot better off by putting Mike on a short leash, potentially getting a better caliber of coach by giving him a short leash, giving him another year. And if it works out, great for Mike. And if it doesn't, then maybe we're in a better position moving forward. But I appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Give everybody an update on the poll question of, should Daniel Gafford play in the NIT? 57% of you say yes. I got Jason Carroll from the Big Trail Nation. He tweeted at me, said he practiced yesterday with the team, so he expects him to play. But the thing is I've heard from other people saying that to not expect him to play. So I guess we'll find out today exactly what's going to end up happening with it. But I think the overall real disappointment I have, I think it was Jim and Cersei that called and said that I was being negative this morning, and maybe I am. I don't care. I'm just trying to be realistic. I'm saying what's on my mind.
If he thinks you're negative, you should listen to our afternoon show if you're considered negative.
Yeah, if I'm considered negative, there's no telling what you'd consider the afternoon show. But anyways, when I was talking about the things that have been going on with Arkansas and obviously with Daniel Gafford on whether or not he'll play in the NIT, I think it's fascinating how people have thoughts and opinions on this that vary from so many different ways. There's some people that feel like he owes it to somebody, which I don't think he owes anything to anybody at this point in time. He owes it to the team. I think that it's something that he has to talk with his coaches about, with his family about, on the decision that he is going to end up making. But it's really disappointing, because here's the most disappointing thing about it. Daniel Gafford, would you bet money? I'd bet money that he's going to be drafted. Not saying high, but I would say he's probably going to be drafted in the NBA draft. Would you agree with that?
I would bet money he's going to be drafted in the first round.
Okay, that's fine. But I'm just saying, for sure, he's going to be drafted. And if you look at Mike Anderson's tenure at Arkansas, this will be the only second player that he's had drafted, besides Bobby Portis, who was drafted late in the first round to Chicago Bulls. And, you know, you can get into the record of Mike Anderson and how many players he's put into the NBA and all that fun stuff. But I think when you look back on it, though, Bobby Portis, in the last season he had as a Razorback, lost in the second round to North Carolina. That was arguably Arkansas's best team under Mike Anderson, the one that was perennially ranked in the top 25. People weren't happy with the way it ended, but, I mean, you lost North Carolina. It wasn't like, you know, you lost in the first round to Wofford, who they played that first game. So there was no shame in that. And it kind of ended on a high note for Bobby. And he came back after his freshman year to see what it had with the Sox. And just, you know, he elevated that team, and he won SEC Player of the Year that year, which Willie Cauley-Stein was first-team All-American and from Kentucky. And I don't want to get into all that. It still makes me mad. It doesn't make sense. But anyways, there's a great way to end that season. And then now you have Daniel Gafford, who last year, it was a pretty good season. Should have been better. They should have beaten Butler. They should have at least made it to the second round, because you felt like the team that had that many seniors, especially with two elite guards of Daryl Macon and Jalen Barford, add in an NBA-caliber player in Daniel Gafford, the big man down low, have a lot of depth, a lot of experience, a lot of veterans. You feel like it should have been better than what it was. But Daniel Gafford came back knowing that, you know, this year wasn't going to be as good as last year. Best case scenario, if everything just fell right into place, they would make the NCAA tournament as a bubble team. That was the best case scenario. But everyone knew that it was going to be a tough go. But he comes back anyways. In fact, it surprised a lot of us. Definitely surprised me, because I was thinking about it. I was like, man, this would be a perfect opportunity for him to move on, because he knows that it's not going to get any better. And this year, his stock is rising. He has a part of his game, the way he's able to go up and down the court and so smoothly and so quickly, is something that a lot of big men, especially guys that are 6'10", 6'11", they don't have that attribute. So I felt like it was just a perfect opportunity for him to go out on a higher note and move on. But instead, he puts out a video on social media of him just sitting in the film room saying, I'm coming back for another year. Really excited people, and people appreciated it for him. But it's just now, when you look back at that time, because that was roughly about a year ago when he made that announcement, and then now looking at it to where he's at now, I kind of feel bad for Daniel, just in the regard of, I feel like last year might have been a better opportunity for him to move on and to end on a higher note. Because, again, you don't get a lot of great players like Daniel Gafford all the time at Arkansas, especially kids that come from Arkansas. And he was a great player that gave it his all this year. But you just kind of feel bad for him, because you wish that he could have ended it out on a better note, on a higher note, than to make it into the NIT, barely make it into the NIT, don't even get a home game in there. You kind of hobble into it late. I still don't think he's going to play in the NIT. I still feel like he is going to sit out. We'll find out today. And if that's the case, his final game as a Razorback is going to be in one of the worst offensive performances they had of the season against Florida in their first game of the SEC tournament,
where he doesn't get off more than double-digit attempts, and the team just, as you mentioned, has their lowest scoring output of the season. Do you blame that more on Mike Anderson or his teammates? Because, and you can say both,
yeah.
But which do you put more blame on the shoulders of?
Well, I feel like, at any point, coaches are always going to get the blame for many things. I feel like there were times, though, that it was set up. Because the thing is we know about Mike Anderson's style. We know that how it's played. We know that there's not just a plethora of set plays that they go out there and run. We just know that that's the way it is. But what we do know is that Mike Anderson understands that he's got to get the ball in his hands of his best player. I mean, that's how it is, and that's, at least he should know that. That's how it is in every sport. It doesn't matter, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. If you have an opportunity to get your best player and put him in a position to make plays, you do it. And I feel like there was a lot of times this year where his teammates, Daniel Gafford's teammates, didn't look for him, didn't try to get it into him. There were so many times that it would just frustrate you when you were watching it. As when Daniel Gafford's sitting there, he's got good position on his man, and he's sitting there with his hand up calling for the ball. And it was one of two things. Either one, his teammates did not look for him all the time or tried to find some other route, or two, they were just so poor at entry passes that they were almost afraid to do it. Because that was a legitimate thing, is that they were not a good team at getting entry passes in. It was a lot of times they're off the mark. You had some people that were knocking them away. It was just a bad deal all around. So I don't know. I think blame is plenty enough to go around, but I do think that as much people are getting after Mike Anderson, I think there was a lot of times where his teammates just weren't always looking for him like they should have this year.
And I think that's kind of identifying with the philosophy in today's game, what Steph Curry kind of came in into the NBA, that people are trying to look for threes, the outside shot, less driving, less getting to the rim. And in turn, that hurts the big men. And you saw, and you mentioned several times this season, it was evident that the Arkansas guards, not just the guards, but forwards as well, were not good passers in terms of post entry. There were several times where he would have his man pinned for 2 or 3 seconds and they just wouldn't get him the ball.
Yeah.
And one of the things the 94 team was really good at, and the more I watched them, the more I noticed is how quick, if Corliss got his man sealed, they'd get him the ball immediately.
Yep.
They'd pass him the ball, and Corliss didn't always turn and shoot out of it or go to a post move. He'd kick it back out sometimes.
They had chemistry like no other.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. And that is also goes under the fact that you're under a Hall of Fame coach, which Mike Anderson is not. It also goes in the fact that you had better players on that 94 team, 95 team than you do on this team. But you also, like, you got to be, like, taught at a certain point. You got to realize, hey, this is not working. Like, we got to get quicker. We got to be better. Because basketball, especially in Mike Anderson's system, is such a fast game today. But it was almost like they did the opposite whenever it came to post injuries. And they just couldn't find him down low, which many times this season he was open. You just got to throw him the rock. He's going to get it unless you throw it 10 feet over his head or at his feet. It's, I mean, post injury is, it's not exactly the easiest part of basketball,
but it's pretty basic.
It's also not on the most difficult part of it either.
It's a very basic play. And that was the thing, is because most of the time when they were able actually to get the ball to Daniel Gafford down low and get him in on those entry passes, more often than not, he made a play. I mean, you think about it. Once he would get the ball, one of two things would also happen in that regard. You'd have him make a play, either go to the rim, try to get a shot or get fouled, or two, they'd have two guys crash in on him, double team him, which would leave somebody else open to where he'd kick it out to them. It just to having the threat of that and setting it up that way opens up so many more doors and opportunities.
And besides him developing a jump shot, he is going to have to get better at passing when a double team converges on him. Because several times this season, he would have 5-plus turnovers in a game, and it's not like he was playing the most lethal defenders on, and they would come at him. He just oftentimes made a bad play or a bad pass. He's got to be able to get better at reacting to a double team, which they won't come as often as the NBA unless you get a lot of film on Gafford and they realize, hey, we can get steals off this kid if we double team him. But that's something that he needs to improve on at the next level.
Yeah, he does. And I think that he understands that too. But, you know, that was the thing. Even a Daniel Gafford last year when they had those great guards around him, there was no doubt that some of those guards, I'm not saying they resented him, but they weren't looking for him because it was Daryl Macon and Jalen Barford. They're the seniors. They're the leaders. They're the veterans. It's like, okay, we're going to be the ones that make a play. We're primary. You're secondary, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but that's just the way it was set up because when the game was on the line or when you needed some baskets last year, even though he was capable, you didn't go to Daniel Gafford every time. You had Barford and Macon were able to make those plays. Where this year, you talk about going from one extreme to the other, where it was like, if you do not get it to Gafford, especially when there's the game on the line or you're needing a basket, then people don't like the result because the result is usually not a good one. I mean, it was just complete opposite. So he had to completely change his role on the team as well. And that's probably what was a very difficult thing to understand, and because it's difficult also in this day and age in basketball to be a big man and to be able to be that go-to guy because of the way that how many guards you have, especially in a Mike Anderson system. It's just crazy to think that it seems like it's really guard-driven, guard-heavy, but yet two of the best players that Arkansas has had under Mike Anderson have been big men, if you really think about it. So
his only NBA draft pick.
Yeah, and it's going to be only his only two.
Yeah.
NBA draft picks have been big men. And I know that Daryl Macon's, you know, messing around with the NBA right now, but he wasn't drafted in that way. And I know a lot of people felt like Michael Qualls would have been drafted.
Same with Barford.
If he would have been injured. So, I mean, you've had some really great guards, but it's just that's the problem that you run into is it seems like there's just such a mix-up to where timing is never perfect for this team and for Mike Anderson. And it just, in a way, again, I feel bad for Daniel Gafford because I feel like there was a great opportunity that he could have had. I'm just hoping for his sake that it ends up being all right for him, that he ends up getting drafted and gets in a situation he wants to be in.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.